Okay, this is a teaching called Living from the Inside Out. Sunday morning, 9/8/24. I'm just going to read here some thoughts I put down. I've known a few Christians in my life, and I believe I can safely say they have not and still do not live from the inside out. But they live from the outside in. God abolished that method of living in the Old Testament. Whenever Jesus, died on the cross, the veil was rent from top to bottom. A 40-foot veil was rent from the top to the bottom, so no man could do it. The fabric was so strong that there is no way a man could have rent it. And he moved out of the Holy of Holies, never to return. He's not going back. Never. We're going to look at that. This is Hebrews 9. Like I told you, I figured out, it's been some months back, kind of had a revelation about when all those years learning about the word of faith and we'd work it and work it and work it, and it just didn't seem to work, was because we were using, you could say, Old Testament methods, not New Testament methods. And we were going to see by the time this teaching's over, you're going to get a picture of what I'm talking about. This is Hebrews 9:11. It says here, but Christ came, being come on high, but Christ being come a high priest of good things to come by a greater and more perfect tabernacle, not made with hands, that is to say, not of this building. You could say not of the flesh. Neither by the blood of goats and calves. See, these are methods. But by his own blood, he entered in once into the holy place, having obtained eternal redemption for us. For if the blood of bulls and of goats, if the natural could have done it, Christ wouldn't have had to come. And the ashes of a heifer sprinkling the unclean sanctifieth the purifying the flesh. How much more shall the blood of Christ, who through the eternal Spirit offered himself without spot to God, purge your conscience from dead works to serve the living God? So he's the mediator of a new covenant, the next verse says. So much of the faith, I call it the faith mantra, it's like Polly won a cracker. We just copied our teachers. I'm not saying anything against our teachers. I'm saying that's what we did. Because we didn't get it. We didn't get it that this is an inside thing, not an outside thing. That's why there's so many people, you give them a book or whatever, and they just end up tossing it in the trash because it never works for them, because they don't get it. They don't get it. This is an inside thing. This is not an outside thing. If you don't get it, what that word does, it will get in your heart. You can confess the word. It will renew your mind. It'll get in your heart. But your external methods, if I can just say it enough, it'll happen. It doesn't work that way. Outward ordinances were no longer accepted. All right, Hebrews 10. For the law, having a shadow of good things to come, and not the very image of the things, can never with those sacrifices which they offered year by year continually make the comers thereunto perfect. For then would they not have ceased to be offered? See, if it could have, we'd still be doing it. And there's a lot of them still doing it. Because that the worshipers once purged should have had no more conscience of sins. But in those sacrifices, there is remembrance again made of sins every year. For it is not possible that the blood of bulls and goats shall take away sins. Just like all people's godly efforts, so-called, to better themselves, to make themselves better, if you don't come by the blood of the Lamb, you have wasted your life. So many are into what they call the alchemy of the soul, where you, it's all meditation, all this bull, all these exercises, all this meditation, all this garbage. All they're doing is soul power. That's all they're operating on, is their soul, not their spirit. They talked about it being your spirit, but no, it's not. They're doing it. There's lots of channels out there doing it. For it's not possible that the blood of bulls and of goats should take away sins. Wherefore, when he cometh into the world, he saith, sacrifice and offering thou wouldest not, but a body hast thou prepared me. In burnt offerings and sacrifices for sin thou hast had no pleasure. In burnt offerings and sacrifices for sin thou hast had no pleasure any more than you working it in the flesh. No pleasure. Then I said, lo, I come in the volume of the book. It is written of me to do thy will, O God. Above, when he said, sacrifice and offering and burnt offerings and offerings for sin thou wouldest not, neither hast pleasure therein which are offered by the law. Then he said, lo, I come to do thy will, O God. He taketh away the first, that he may establish the second. By the which will we are sanctified through the offering of the body of Jesus Christ once for all. If Jesus isn't in it, I don't care how much you know and how great of a person you are, you have missed the mark. If he's not in it, God's not in it. Even when you say this is God's plan. Mm-mm. And every priest standeth daily ministering, offering oft times the same sacrifices, which can never take away sins. You can meditate till the cows come home, but it ain't going to take away your sin. You may feel better about yourself, but if you don't know Jesus and his way in, well, you're out. But this man, after it offered one sacrifice for sins forever, sat down on the right hand of God, from henceforth expecting till his enemies be made his footstool. For by one offering he hath perfected forever them that are sanctified, whereof the Holy Ghost also is a witness to us, for after that he had said before, this is the covenant that I will make with them after those days, saith the Lord. I will put my laws into their hearts, and in their minds will I write them, and their sins and iniquities will I remember no more. Now where remission of these is, there is no more offering for sin. No more offerings. No more works for sin. Jesus already did it. He already did it. All right. No more living from the outside hoping we can tap into the spiritual somehow or some way. It cannot be accessed that way. This is why so many Christians live disappointed lives. They have not learned to live from the inside out. This is what salvation is all about. We now have heavenly access by the blood of Jesus Christ. That faith stuff doesn't work, they say, and they are right, because they are trying to do it from the outside in, and it must be from the inside out. God moved out of the box of religious and ceremonial washings and offerings of sacrifices, and through Jesus Christ gave us inside entry into all that he has. How do we do this? Renewing the mind helps you tap into God's plan. How do you do, you know, if someone passes away, and what do? They usually have a will, and what do? The lawyer gets the will, and he reads the will and says, in the will, this is what they left you. So God's word tells you what he has left you, what Jesus did for you. Let's go read Romans 12. I don't think Revelation 12 would say that. I can't stress this enough to a new believer, especially, to say, don't do anything until you have renewed your mind. And then when you find out what God has for you to do, then do it with all your might. It'd save a lot of steps, wouldn't it? A lot of wasted years, a lot of wasted time. All right. I beseech you, therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you present your bodies a living sacrifice, wholly acceptable unto God, which is your reasonable service. Once you become born again, this is your reasonable service. Be not conformed to this world. In other words, religious practices. They're not holy. And be not conformed to this world, but be ye transformed by the renewing of your mind, that you may prove what is that good, acceptable, and perfect will of God. For this I say, through the grace given unto me, to every man that is among you, not to think of himself more highly than he ought to think, but to think soberly, according as God hath dealt to every man the measure of faith. So, when you renew your mind, then God's grace, when you find out his will is for you personally, then his grace comes along to help you do it. Yeah, I had a talk with someone recently, and they just didn't realize it, and they thanked me later for saying what I did, because they were expecting somebody else to do everything for them instead of they heard and they obeyed what God said do. It's like they didn't make the connection. And they thanked me because they finally made the connection. It's something they just never saw. You are the only one responsible between you and God what you are to do. Nobody can tell you that. Now, someone can confirm it to you. But only God can tell you what you're supposed to do. And only you can walk in that grace. It's specifically tailored for you and what he's called you to do. And I believe, you know, as you grow, the grace may change. You may be promoted, get a higher grace, whatever. Okay, grace then comes along to help us accomplish God's plan for our lives. Now consider what I'm saying here. This is key to living from the inside out. As a new believer, you have to hear from the inside what God has to say to you. You know, a lot of people, they get born again and you never see a change in them. The day I got born again, I sat on the clothesline pole and sung all afternoon. Hymns. The heavens opened. The last thing I remember, I was standing by my cousin. The next thing I know, I'm down front. I'm going, how did I get down here? I tried to get her to go with me because I was scared. She wouldn't go. Shame on you. Anyway. Something supernaturally happened that day to me. And people act like, no big deal. I guess that would probably be a good gauge to decide, not the feelings or outward happenings, but there ought to be a change. There should be a change. Maybe it's because we have altar calls and anybody and their dog comes up, but it says the Holy Spirit's the one that chooses. He draws the person at the right time when it's right. Maybe they're just going and they're just giving lip service and thinking that they're doing it, but it's not the right time. See, here is this inside out thing, this religious dogma. We got to have it every service. Really? Do we? I don't think so. I think that we have to be led by the Spirit in everything we do. I don't care what it is, even if it's an altar call. I mean, I've been in churches. I could tell you for the last 30 years, I ain't changed. We pray the same prayer. We have the same altar call. The same altar workers come up. The same people do this. The same people do that. And you just go, God. Well, I don't know, feel any better because it's all just a work. Maybe it started out right. But you know what? We've got to follow the Spirit whatever we do. And that starts from the time we're born again. And we accept, by accepting this spiritual experience, we are letting go of this natural, just dead work stuff. Our conscience is purged from dead works. Where is that? You know where that is? I just read it. Well, our conscience is purged from dead works to serve the living God. God's a spirit. They that worship Him must worship Him in spirit and in truth, not natural means. A lot of people just go to church to appease their conscience because they feel guilty if they don't go. And I know we were always kind of looked at funny. You have church where in your house? I'll take what God's taught us in the house over 100 years in a church somewhere. Because I didn't learn a whole lot anywhere we went. Maybe a little bit here and there, but not a whole lot. We followed the Spirit into this house, and the house before that, and the house before that, house before that, and house before that. And we grew. All right. That's the key from living from the inside out, not the outside in. To access the grace and stay in your place in God, you must become spirit conscious as opposed to body conscious. Now we're going to get into some... I hope this helps you. It helped me tremendously because Jesus did a complete work, and as far as He's concerned, whatever problem you may have today is already finished, already done, already yes, already amen. Don't matter what it is. Doesn't matter what the outside looks like. It doesn't matter. The circumstances do not dictate this. God's Word dictates it. All right. Everything that you are will ever need ever has already been supplied. Did Jesus do a complete work? And then He sat down. He's resting from His works. And whatever you need today, He's already done it. But you can't get that outward appearance out of your mind enough to access it or enjoy it. That's walking by the flesh. And that's where most people live, even Christians. Most Christians, that's where they live. That's why you see so many at the doctors. The church don't have it. The church don't know it. Not as a whole, they don't. There's a few. They don't have the answers. They can't help anybody. So they go to the world. All right, Philippians 1:9. If you'll get a hold of this today, it'll help you. It's helped me. Talk about changing your tune. The walk of the Spirit is changing your tune. Instead of walking after the flesh and everything the world system does, the church does too. All right, 1:9. That's not it. What am I doing? 1:9. Just a minute. I guess it was 6. I typed in 9. Sometimes I get typing fast. All right. Being confident of this very thing, that He which hath begun a good work in you will perform it till the day of Jesus Christ. See, when He comes, it'll be whatever parts lacking will be completed. So there won't be a need for that anymore. You'll already be everything you need to be. We'll be like Him. But until that time, He's already perfected the plan, but you have to catch up. That's what the renewing of the mind process does. It gets you, your mind renewed to fit His will. Not the will of this world that's around you. All right, Philippians 4:19. My God shall supply all your need according to his riches and glory by Christ Jesus. Supply here means to make replete, to cram a net, level up a hollow, furnish, imbue, diffuse, influence, satisfy, execute, or verify. All this comes from the inside out, not the outside in. We have a supply of the Spirit within. All right. If you're upset, unhappy, worried, complaining, etc., you've not really gotten a hold of this. There's no lack of anything in the Spirit where your supply is. Quit looking to the outside for your supply. I'm not saying it won't come from a direction outside. I'm saying the supply is in the Spirit inside. But how did God get the supply that he needed the day that he saw the earth and the mess it was in? There you go. It's still coming from the inside. And it'll manifest in the outside. How many times have we heard the Lord say that to us? It happens in the Spirit first before you're going to see it in the natural. That's the way God made it. All right. It happens in the Spirit first and it will manifest in the natural. That's it. That is how we attain from God. This is why it's very crucial that we meditate on what we want and not on what we are seeing on the outside. Is it worth living your life every day, just trudging through, just barely making it, feeling like garbage, just down all the time, just can't see the forest for the trees? Is it worth it? We're looking in the wrong place. The Lord says, get that picture on inside of you, what you want. Picture it. Look at it. Meditate on it. Let it roll around in your mind. Until one day it'll come out of your mouth like a force. And that's when you'll see the manifestation of what you want. But as long as you're focusing on this outside, the devil will make sure you're chasing your tail all the time. You have to speak to your body and say, shut up. You have to. It's up to you. Now listen, we already been through this before. God says this, and I'm telling you, get yourself in line with it. Down with it. That's the way it's happening, y'all. That's what keeps your life miserable. It's a miserable existence. But it don't matter. You know, if you just keep doing that, that's what you'll have. You got to, like the Lord said in the first word, you're going to have to change your tune. He already says, I already did it for you. Well, are you walking by what you see in the natural or what you know in the spiritual? They are both sight. One spiritual sight, the other is the flesh. All right. This is how we attain from God. This is why it's crucial that we meditate on what we want and not on what we are seeing on the outside. The outside is not a true gauge. It's false evidence appearing real. But the enemy uses it to steal from you, steal your joy. What's on the inside of you is the true gauge because you're the artist. You're a creator. God made you in his likeness and image to create just like he did. He said, go fill the earth. What did he mean for Adam to do? Go get a bunch of lumber. There wasn't no Lowe's at that time. There were trees. No, he wanted him to meditate. Meditate. Think about. Picture it in his mind. Speak it. That's how God built. There wasn't no Lowe's trucks lined up. to build the earth. All right. Most people are body conscious and not spirit conscious. Now you can see why they don't seem to get their prayers answered. They never see what they want to see. They are trying to get spiritual access by fleshly means. They don't put any work into it. If they don't get their answer in a few days, well, they go get some help. That's why it's not really our job to try to make them understand. That's why I said a couple of weeks ago that I want, when I pray for people, I want them to understand. This isn't just me praying for you. This is a two-way street. You've got a commitment in this, and don't waste my time. If I get something from God, are you going to receive it? Not trying to be ugly, just why would you want to waste your time on a wasted effort? I mean, that's the way I feel about it. Because I know some people, I've told them things and told them things and told them things and told them things, and they never do what the Lord gives me for them. And so I've kind of gotten to where I don't know what to do about that. I guess I just say, well, I try to say, well, let's just agree. You know, let's just agree. Sometimes that works better than you spending all that time praying and getting an answer and then they blow it off like it's just nothing. All right. If any two agree, at least we can kind of get it going that direction. Put the responsibility on them too. All right. Romans chapter 8, wonderful chapter. It's exactly what I'm talking about today. I heard somebody say one time they hated the book of Romans. I'm thinking, what? I said, it's the most wonderful book in the Bible, the book of Romans. It's because they were body-ruled, flesh-ruled Christians. That's why they didn't get it. A spirit-led Christian gets it. All right. There is therefore now no condemnation to them which are in Christ Jesus, who walk not after the flesh, but after the Spirit. Well, most of them just might as well quit there. Don't even read the rest of it. If you can't do that, you can't read the rest of it. For the law of the Spirit of life in Christ Jesus hath made me free from the law of sin and death. For what the law could not do, in that it was weak through the flesh, God sending his own Son in the likeness of sinful flesh, and for sin condemned sin in the flesh, that the righteousness of the law might be fulfilled in us who walk not after the flesh, but after the Spirit. For they that are after the flesh do mind the things of the flesh, but they that are after the Spirit, the things of the Spirit. Now get this, for to be carnally minded is death. To be spiritually minded is life and peace. Because the carnal mind is enmity against God. For it is not subject to the law of God, neither indeed can be. So then they that are in the flesh cannot please God. But you're not in the flesh, but in the Spirit. If so be that the Spirit of God dwell in you. Now if any man have not the Spirit of Christ, he is none of his. And if Christ be in you, the body is dead because of sin, but the Spirit is life because of righteousness. But if the Spirit of him that raised Jesus from the dead dwell in you, he that raised up Christ Jesus from the dead shall also quicken your mortal bodies by a Spirit that dwelleth in you. So our healing, whatever, comes from the inside out. Therefore, brethren, we are debtors not to the flesh to live after the flesh. For if ye live after the flesh, ye shall die. But if ye through the Spirit do mortify the deeds of the body, ye shall live. For as many as are led by the Spirit of God, they are the sons of God. If ye have not received the spirit of bondage again to fear, but ye have received the spirit of adoption, whereby we cry, Abba, Father. The Spirit itself beareth witness with our spirit that we are the children of God. It's all an inside walk, y'all. All of it. And if children, then heirs of God, and joint heirs with Christ, if so be that we suffer with him, that we may be also glorified together. But I reckon that the sufferings of this present time are not worthy to be compared with the glory which shall be revealed in us. Yes, it suffer. We suffer by going the way of the Spirit and not the way of the flesh. But when it manifests, nothing can compare to it. Nothing. When you've seen God do a miracle, there ain't nothing. Nothing on this earth to compare to the power of God. For the earnest expectation of the creature waited for the manifestation of the sons of God. For the creature was made subject to vanity, not willingly, but by reason of him who has subjected the same in hope. Because the creature itself also shall be delivered from the bondage of corruption into the glorious liberty of the children of God. For we know that the whole creation groaneth and travaileth in pain together until now. That's why, still in the world, most Christians that are programmers, it's all about the frequencies and the med beds and all this Tesla technology and all of these things. You hear very little about the kingdom of God and God's manifestation in the earth, the manifestation of the sons of God. By comparison, that will pale. That's where our job is going to be, right there. This all may look great, but you ain't seen nothing yet till you see the power of God. People are going to have to see it. The reason they can't receive anything else is because they've not learned to walk in the Spirit now, and they won't be in the Spirit then. That's why they have to be taught. That's why this church has changed their tune, and they're singing a new song that sounds weird to everybody else. It's in the old church. They'd be leaving soon. We'd be taking over soon. And not only they, but ourselves also, which have the first fruits of the Spirit, even we ourselves groan within ourselves, waiting for the adoption, to wit, the redemption of our body. For we are saved by hope, but hope that is seen is not hope. For what a man seeth, what doth he yet hope for? But if we hope for that we see not, then do we with patience wait for it. Likewise, the Spirit also helpeth our infirmities. Whatever infirmity you're going through, the Spirit helpeth it. I know this, a merry heart doeth good like a medicine. When you're in a good mood, you can just go about your day and nothing bothers you, right? That's the way it's supposed to be. Likewise, the Spirit also helpeth our infirmities, for we don't know what we should pray for as we ought. But the Spirit himself maketh intercession for us with groanings which cannot be uttered. He that searcheth the hearts knoweth what is the mind of the Spirit, because he maketh intercession for the saints according to the will of God. So whatever God's will is, which is all good, he'll make it known to us. If we will look to the inside. A lot of people panic and just go doing a bunch of stuff. And we know that all things work together for good to them that love God, to them who are called according to his purpose. So when you look to the Spirit, you are not going to be disappointed. You may have to wait a little while, but you're not going to be disappointed. Because there is where your supply is. He's given you everything you need inside to build whatever you need to build. For whom he did foreknow, he also predestinated to be conformed to the image of his Son, that he might be the firstborn among many brethren. Moreover, whom he did predestinate, them he also called. Whom he called, them he also justified. Whom he justified, them he also glorified. What shall we then say to these things? If God be for us, who can be against us? Nobody. Nobody. He that spared not his own Son, but delivered him up for us all, how shall he not with him also freely give us all things? Get your list out. All things on that list. All things on that list. New body, no debt. Who shall lay anything to the charge of God's elect? It is God that justifieth. Who is it that condemneth? It is Christ that died, yea, rather, that is risen again, who is even at the right hand of God, who also maketh intercession for us. We got a whole team working for us on the inside. Who shall separate us from the love of Christ? Shall tribulation, or distress, or persecution, or famine, or nakedness, or peril, or sword? As it is written, for thy sake we are killed all the day long, we are accounted as sheep for the slaughter. Nay, and all these things were more than conquerors through him that loved us. For I am persuaded that neither death, nor life, nor angels, nor principalities, nor powers, nor things present, nor things to come, nor height, nor depth, nor any other creature shall be able to separate us from the love of God which is in Christ Jesus our Lord. He loved us so much that he gave his own life so that he could take care of everything that we'd ever need. And nothing can separate us from that. If you focus on your body and circumstances, you will not have the victory. If you focus on the supply within, which is always yes and amen, you will. People will think that you never have a problem. They'll say, boy, just nothing ever bothers them. Everything seems to just go right for them. Well, they have an inside source. All of this is an inside operation. Satan wants you looking without, but God requires you to look within. If you're looking within, it is always complete and in total victory. If you're looking without, it always has a bad report. Satan is the god of this world, the world without. God is the god of the spiritual world, the world within. All right. Remember, God moved out of the box no longer to return. He ain't going back there. I don't care how many temples they build over there. He ain't going back there. Outward sacrifices will never gain your access to the supply of the Spirit. Now, if you're seeking God about something and he tells you to go do something natural, you're still in the spirit. We have to live in this world, right? From the time I became filled with the Spirit and had fellowship with several churches, all I ever observed were depressed people trying to get God to do something for them. And it was always they ended up going to fleshly means and ways to get their help. Unfortunately, we give this body far too much credit. We cannot trust it because it is manipulated. The flesh is manipulated. You have to talk to the flesh and manipulate it in the right direction. Now, I said, shut up. I said, get in line with the word. I'm not going to tell you again today. Circumstances, I'm telling you, you get in line with the Word of God. I already know what the Word of God says. He's given us this ability to do this. All right. Let me see where we're left off. This will never happen when we look to the Spirit. The Spirit will quicken the body. Your body is not the real you. Your spirit man is. That's why all the healthcare industry and all the natural medicine and all this stuff, they make bukus of money off of people. For a coat. For a coat. Your body is the dwelling place of the Spirit. It's like a coat. Oh, they'll spend thousands and thousands of dollars for that old coat. But they won't do anything to get their spirit in line. All right. Your body is not the real you. Your spirit man is the real you. The hidden man of the heart, Peter says. Okay, that's 1 Peter 3:4. The hidden man of the heart. This is where we produce. Okay. Let's look at a few scriptures. Proverbs 4. actually, the heart is your mind, your will, and your emotions. But he's talking about the inward man here. Peter is talking about the inward man. The one that's usually ignored, that has all the insight, all the capability to produce. But because people aren't taught that, they don't understand that. So everything is just always a natural application. Go any church in this town. I challenge you. Go anywhere you want. Just sit there and take notes. All right. And you know, when someone does get healed, I think it's just it's a miracle. All right. Just because, you know, the way people are. They want to follow their flesh. Well, I'll feel better and I'll act better when all this disappears. That's not how it works. You do all that stuff while it's still there, like it isn't there. Just like you call those things that be not as though they are. And just because you see it there doesn't mean it's really there. I don't care what it is. You choose what to look at or what to focus on. Proverbs 4:20 says, "My son, attend to my words. Incline thine ear unto my sayings. Let them not depart from thine eyes. Keep them in the midst of thine heart. Their life unto those that find them, and health to all their flesh. Keep thy heart with all diligence, for out of it are the issues of life. Put away from thee a froward mouth, and perverse lips put far from thee. Let thine eyes look right on, and thine eyelids look straight before thee. Ponder the path of thy feet, and let all thy ways be established. Turn not to the right hand or to the left. Remove thy foot from evil." All this out here is evil. And here's what you need to be focusing on. Don't let the word depart, it says. Proverbs 23:7, "As a man thinks in his heart, so is he." The word heart there means feeling, will, or emotions. You're down, you're being driven by feelings, your will, and emotion. If you're down. So I said a merry heart does good like a medicine, a merry heart. All right, if you're not walking in victory, then your soul is calling the shots. And that's the flesh, plain and simple. You know, if we're listening to what the Spirit says, we're going to have a good report and we're going to gain a victory. It might not happen on Saturday night, but it will. Okay. All right, we do not have to wait for the reign of Christ to live in heaven and earth. We don't have to wait for a 1,000-year reign to be here to reign in life. Romans 5:17. We're to reign in life as kings. That has to do with how we decide to, what we decide to think on. All right. Don't allow your outward housing to argue with you over how you feel. Your spirit man always says all is well. The word doesn't change. It already says what it says, and it doesn't change. All right, 1 Corinthians 15:57. When I first started on television, one of the very first things I taught there in Leveland, Jackie was there. The Lord said to me, "Think about what you're thinking about." I remember this last week, I said, "Now wait a minute, no, I'm not going there." I changed my mind. I could have ruined my whole day by thinking on a certain thing. I thought, nah, ain't doing it. Shut up. All right, 1557. But thanks be to God, which giveth us the victory through our Lord Jesus Christ. I like it. Just keep going. Therefore, my beloved brethren, be ye steadfast, unmovable, always abounding in the work of the Lord, for as much as ye know that your labor is not in vain in the Lord. It's a discipline, y'all. That's what it is. Plain and simple. Body conscious or spirit conscious, it's up to you. You choose what you're going to look at. If you can sit in front of a podcast or a ball game or whatever, you've chosen to look at that. Well, if you've chosen to look at the negatives, you will reap the benefit of it. If you choose to look at the positives and remain there, you will reap the benefits of it. You're going to sow to the spirit or sow to the flesh. 1 Corinthians 1. Is this helping?
Yes.
Good. All right, 26. 1:26. 1 Corinthians 1:26. For you see your calling, brethren, how that not many wise men after the flesh, not many mighty, not many a noble are called. But God has chosen the foolish things of the world to confound the wise, and God has chosen the weak things of the world to confound the things which are mighty. And base things of the world and things which are despised hath God chosen, yea, things which are not, to bring to naught things that are, that no flesh should glory in his presence. But of him are ye in Christ Jesus, who of God has made unto us wisdom and righteousness and sanctification and redemption, that according as it is written, he that glorieth, let him glory in the Lord. Not in the flesh. Oh, help us today, Lord. Romans 13:14. It says here, but put ye on the Lord Jesus Christ and make not provision for the flesh to fulfill the lust thereof. Your emotions are the gauge to where you are hanging out. If you're up and have the victory, that is from the inside. If you're down and struggling, that is coming from the outside. As Christians, we, like Paul, must learn to bring the body under subjection to the Spirit. This is 1 Corinthians chapter 9. :24. Know ye not that they which run in a race run all, but one receiveth the prize? So run that ye may obtain. And every man that striveth for the mastery is temperate in all things. Now they do it to obtain a corruptible crown, but we an incorruptible. I therefore so run, not as uncertainly, so fight I, not as one that beateth the air. In other words, wasting your time. Being down in the dumps all day long, you've wasted the whole stinking day. And you feel worse than when you got up. Something needs to change. But I keep under my body, in other words, shut up, and bring it into subjection, lest it by any means, when I have preached to others, I myself should be a castaway. He's the one that says, I glory in my infirmities. You're going, say what? Yeah. It would probably be a good idea to tell your body to shut up when it begins to act up. You can choose what to think on. Just like you can choose today what you're going to eat, or you can choose today what you're going to do. All right. I would say today that most people that you would ask this question, like Christians, how are you? They'd probably say, well, I'm doing pretty good under the circumstances. How often do you hear that? Well, who said you needed to be under the circumstances? There's nowhere in that that's in the Bible. When you finally begin to understand, too, that part of your training is this training exercise is to get you constant and even to where you don't react. Jesus already did a complete work to assure our victory in every area. We just must enforce it. I think I can or I think I can't. They both work. Your body will scream and try to get you to side in with it. You have to tell it, no, not today. We're going to do something else today. We're going to change our tune today. See, we're going in this new reign from a fleshly reign to a spiritual one. That's why there's been no power in the church. Too much mixture. Okay. Let's see. James 4, 7 and 8. Submit yourselves, therefore, to God. Resist the devil. He will flee from you. Draw nigh to God, and he will draw nigh to you. Cleanse your hands, you sinners. Purify your hearts, you double-minded. You can't be both. Pitiful or powerful, but you can't be both. You either believe God or you believe what your senses are telling you. All right. 2 Corinthians 2:14. A lot of good scriptures. I just put a few down. Now, thanks be unto God, which always causes us to triumph in Christ. How many times? How much? Always. Always, kind of all means all. Well, always means always. Always causes us to triumph in Christ and make it manifest the savor of His knowledge by us in every place. Triumph, to make an acclamatory procession, to conquer, to give victory. Right here. This is Romans 8:37. I read it a while ago, but it's about being more than conquerors. This is 8:37. Nay, in all these things, we are more than conquerors through him that loved us. And Paul goes on to say, I'm persuaded that neither death, nor life, nor angels, nor principalities, nor powers, nor things present, nor things to come, nor height, nor depth, nor any other creature shall be able to separate us from the love of God, which is in Christ Jesus our Lord. In other words, it can't keep you from being a conqueror. Right here, conquer, to vanquish beyond, gain a decisive victory. Verse 6 there, same chapter. For to be carnally minded is death, but to be spiritually minded is life and peace. Here's what carnally means. The symbol of what is external. Carnal means external. Or human nature. The inclinations of human nature. It's possible. All things are possible to him who believes, right? So if we believe what God has said, there's no reason why we should walk around defeated and beat up all the time, feeling bad about things all the time, wasting the day, wasting our lives. It's not productive. All right, I'm going to leave it there. Just got to live from the inside out.